Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk the idea of spiritual practice, which is all about letting divine will take over the government of the body, as opposed to the old way of conditioning the body with a spiritual response. Listen as we explain some differences between unconscious patterns and conditioned responses and divine mind. In this show, we will be reviewing why human will and a belief in matter renders the divine law of healing obscure and void. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and demonstrate the divine truth of being. Swami, the title of today's show is Practice Spiritual Responses for Practical Conditions. And I guess we could actually break down every word in that title, but let's first talk about practice. What is practice?
Yeah, there's an old saying, practice makes perfect. Only when practice is perfect. With regard to Kriya Yoga, it is a practice that we're actually employing strategies to affect a desired outcome.
Well, then let's talk about the next phrase, spiritual responses. And now I take it that's something that we think that we are being spiritual and we are responding spiritually to events and situations in our lives. But what does it mean to you?
Yeah, it was a big lesson for me to understand what it really means to be spiritual, as opposed to living out from a sense of personal identity. Because to be spiritual really means to be impersonal. And that was a difficult lesson for me, especially coming from an understanding or a belief that I have a physical body, or that I am a physical, mortal creature. And then to find out that the truth of being is that we're spiritual, that this is a spiritual universe. And so learning how to forsake all of this human thinking, all of these human rules and theories and concepts and beliefs that most of us have just been inundated with, it becomes a challenge to get out from that and to really understand what it means to be spiritual, that to be spiritual is to be perfect. To be spiritual is to be whole, complete. Spirit is eternal life. It's not a life that ends up in a grave that has an expiration date. And so these are all changes, and it requires a change in how we're thinking. But to find out just how dramatic that change really is was a real lesson for me.
Well, it's interesting that you just said that spirit is perfect, and then you did also explain that practice makes perfect only when practice is perfect. So if that's the case, and spirit is perfect, we have to try to marry ourselves to that same concept.
Right. We can have a belief in matter and a belief in spirit. And that was something that I really got from Christian Science. In Mary Baker Eddy's book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, she makes a statement, "You render the divine law of healing obscure and void when you weigh the human in the scale with the divine, or limit in any direction of thought the omnipresence and omnipotence of God." That's a really powerful statement that she makes here. A belief in matter keeps thought attached to material moorings and prevents the elevation of consciousness, which that's what Kriya Yoga is all about. It's about shifts in consciousness. It's about expansion of consciousness. And all of this is contingent upon and begins with this union with the divine. And what we have always been talking about is the physics of spirituality, that like attracts like. So in order for us to attract spirit into our consciousness, we must assume spiritual identity.
And so the last part of the title, we have the two words, practical conditions. So I guess my question to you is, what do you consider to be practical condition as opposed to an impractical condition?
Well, condition in general now is the external appearance. See, before we were teaching that reality was a compilation of three components, matter, mind, and spirit. Now we have a completely different perspective of this, that the entire universe is spirit. Spirit is the only reality. Then matter and mind are no longer, quote-unquote, things, but they are simply an appearance. It is a thought about this spiritual presence. Yeah, before we were kind of using divine presence to change this external matter or internal mind. Now, what we're basically doing is we're just using the appearance as a barometer to give us an understanding of what is it that I am holding in consciousness? What is it that I am identifying with? Rather than using spirit as a power to affect changes with regard to what was called practical conditions. We're actually just trying to change our perception of what is before us. So all the change really takes place in consciousness now. The appearance will change, but the appearance isn't real. The appearance is just a concept or a thought about what is real. The only thing that's real in this universe is spirit. The invisible, intangible divine presence. And we have a concept or a thought about that. And so all of the changing must take place in our thinking.
So a condition could be any, in this model, a condition could be any inharmonious appearance that I see or witness or feel. So I'm thinking of an example, maybe so our readers could get a better understanding. So say you have a, you witness two neighbors arguing. So that would be a condition because that wouldn't really be real. I have to change how I think about what I just witnessed.
Right. Because anything that does not reflect divine quality, so an argument really is inharmonious, and divine quality is absolute harmony. So like you say, that would be an abnormal condition. And basically, the way that this works is that the only thing that is real, the only thing that is supported by principle, the only thing that is backed by the self-existent power of this universe is absolute harmony. So now what you're looking at is a false appearance. Now, if you react to the false appearance, then you are a concept and you are now sowing to that level of consciousness, which means that you're under the law of karma, and you have a belief in something other than the allness of divine presence, which means that you are now hypnotized and you're going to have to deal with this condition. But you're going to have to deal with it on a human level. Now, for you to be able to pierce through the appearance and identify with the divine presence, the truth, the invisible, intangible, harmonious presence that is the only power, then your recognition of that divine presence will have a profound effect on that actual external appearance. And this is something that you start to work with and you start to practice.
So that would be the spiritual response to, say, that practical condition. I witnessed an argument taking place, and I have to look at that as those two beings and being the divine presence. That's not real, what I just witnessed. That's my spiritual response.
Right. And our belief in matter, like we said, that's what keeps our thoughts attached to these material mornings, and it prevents us from elevating our consciousness to pierce through that appearance. Before, we taught the body has all the power and the mind has vision. And this is really a secular belief, and it becomes a barrier to this fifth stage of yoga called pratyahara, sense withdrawal. So now what we have done is we've changed our practice so that rather than catering to what appears to be needs of a physical body, rather than trying to manage fear and anxiety and all of the things that come from this belief in matter, rather than trying to work with that limiting perspective, we found that by assuming spiritual identity was a much better practice, in that you're identifying with what is eternal, absolute, whole, complete, that has no needs, that is fulfilled. There's nothing that you are trying to add to it, to take away from it, to overcome, that identifying with yourself as spirit is identifying with the perfection of being. That is what has principle. That's what has power. The body doesn't have power. The only thing that gives the body the appearance of power is our belief in it.
So the intention of our yoga practice, and I guess I'm talking asana class here, is that we don't go into an asana class to get a good stretch or the workout or to be able to live longer, look younger and look better and be more attractive. Really, we need to be changing our concept and belief and our intentions about the yoga asana classes.
Right. And it begins with changing who we think we are. It begins with this union with the divine. And the only way that we can connect to the divine is to connect it in divine identity. That's the physics of spirituality. Like attracts like. And before, we had a belief in a physical form. We had a belief in a physical body. And from that limited perspective, there's no communication with this divine source. That's where we have to be really grateful to Mary Baker Eddy for putting that out there for us. Because I think that's a common mistake that most of us are still in personal identity, and yet at the same time, we think we're spiritual. But what we find is that in thinking that we're spiritual, we don't have spiritual privileges. We don't have the power of the omnipresence, the omnipotence of divine law.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, you had just mentioned the phrase union with the divine, and I was just listening to a lecture by Herb Fitch, and he talks about the marriage feast of the lamb. So I was wondering if maybe you could maybe drill that down for us.
Yeah, that came out of Revelations, and the marriage feast of the lamb is union with the divine. The divine presence gives true power to this appearance. In the same way that gold gives paper money value, spirit is self-existent, making it the only power in this universe. All appearances steal false power from belief. It is belief in the false sense of reality that gives it existence. And so this union with the divine, when we now identify with spirit, when we let divine mind take over the scientific government of our being, is really when we're able to start to demonstrate this divine law with certainty. But it's that inner marriage that really makes this even possible.
And I see that you have here in the notes, the marriage of the lamb feasts only on the word of God. What does that exactly mean? What is feasting and what is the word of God?
Right. See, divine presence, there is absolutely no lack of divine presence. And in fact, the word of God is the self-existent. The word of God is life itself. It's eternal life. And it is in constant communication with us. The problem is that divine communication, divine idea does not report in the human mind. It doesn't report in our five sense mind. And so most of us are completely unconscious to this divine presence. And that is where in scripture they talk about the Christ. See, the birth of the Christ in you is really the Christ is the interpreter. The Christ is what makes this divine presence intelligible to the human consciousness. Once we graduate and we move from a sense level mentality to soul sense, spiritual sense, then that is when we can now feast on the Word of God. But prior to that, we're preoccupied with the five senses, the pain, pleasure, control dramas of this false sense of existence, this physical identity, and we're in this cycle of death and rebirth. So a big part of this union with the divine is that you make this conversion. That was the new covenant that they talk about in the Bible, that we go from material values, material beliefs, material needs to spiritual understanding, that we no longer have these physical limitations, that our identity now graduates to spiritual values, spiritual substance. And there's no lack, there's no need, there is just my peace, is what the Bible will call that. It is my peace, and to abide in the truth of our being is how we demonstrate the perfection of this existence.
Well, next I want to talk about a quote we have here by Mary Baker Eddy that I think will explain what we said back in the summary when we said that we would review why human will and a belief in matter render the divine law of healing obscure and void. And that quote is, "You render the divine law of healing obscure and void when you weigh the human in the scale with the divine, or limit any direction of thought, the omnipresence and the omnipotence of God." And again, like I said, this is by Mary Baker Eddy. So I'm wondering, again, can you drill that down for us?
Yeah, one of the big things that we've been talking about is forsaking all human thinking. Because what she's saying here, in any direction of thought, that human thought, rational thinking, creates an interference pattern with divine mind. Divine idea speaks in the absolute, and the rational speaks from duality. It speaks from a divided consciousness. And so it's like two very different languages. It's two very different bases of operation. And the misconception is that if we sow to the flesh, that it will eventually bring us to spiritual identity. And that is why I found that the Kriya Yoga that we teach dovetails very well with Christian Science, because we're employing purification. And we have to purify ourselves physically, mentally, and conceptually. And in order to do that, at the same time, you must make your mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of this omnipresence, omnipotence, this divine mind, which is pouring out its idea continuously to us, but we must have attention for it, which means we must graduate from a sense level of living to a spirit sense of living or soul sense in order to communicate with it and to get our direction from it.
I know you've said in the past, and it's in our notes here again, that divine presence must be our priority, because it cannot function in our experience if we are not conscious of it. And I think that's really an important statement, not only to say it, but to really meditate on that.
Right. And really, like, what does that mean to be conscious of spirit? Most of us are a human thinking about spirit. But in order to be conscious of spirit, spirit must be invited into your consciousness. And the way we're approaching our lives today, it's not possible to have that because we have a belief in matter. And I have an example here from Herb Fitch from his Revelation of St. John. It's class 23.1. And the quote is, "Let's suppose I change my song. Father, my child appears to be sick, and my doctor says my child is sick, and my child's temperature is high, and the poor little dear is pale and weak, but I'm sure that if you knew about this, something would be done, and you're not doing a thing. I'm therefore sure you know nothing about this, and I am therefore prepared to say that whoever knows something about this is under the impression that they know more than God. They must be wrong. I can declare truthfully that every medical diagnosis ever made since the world began is a declaration of knowing more than God. And it must be wrong, for the simple reason that God is all and God is perfect. What is there, then, that is imperfect? That's consciousness, which is disconnected from God, which does not know the Father aright. And so in that class, he really drills down with this marriage feast of the Lamb and the importance of union with the divine. But as we know from Kriya Yoga, that avidya, ignorance, is when we mistaken the impermanent for the permanent. And so a lot of us are still lost in the three modes of mortal thought, human thinking. Yet at the same time, we think we have this union with the divine, but we're still in the false sense of existence. And so as a result, we're not under the protection of divine law. So it's very important that we know this spiritual presence aright, because it's easy to mistake the world mind, the cosmic mind, the collective consciousness for this divine presence. But when we do, we're still drawing from duality. We still have a belief in matter, and we're under the law of karma, and we're in the cycle of death and rebirth. Once we can figure out the invisible, intangible presence of the true spirit, and we now have awareness of it, and our acknowledgement of that presence must activate and reveal itself in the appearance. And that's why we use the appearance to give us clues as to, how am I thinking? Am I still thinking humanly, or have I forsaken all my human thinking for divine knowing? Has divine mind taken over the scientific government of my life? And that's supported in the Lord's Prayer, where it says, "Thy will be done."
Well, I want to get back to this line in that Herb Fitch lecture, and that was, "I can declare truthfully that every medical diagnosis ever made since the world began is a declaration of knowing more than God." Well, it reminded me of the story that you told us about you having a conversation with somebody about an x-ray, and that person said that x-rays don't lie. And I was wondering if you could maybe talk a little bit more about that, what you think the x-rays really do represent.
Yeah, I mean, the x-ray is a picture of the false sense of existence. The physical body is a belief. It's a thought about the truth of being. And it's our belief in that false sense that makes it all ludicrous, because we're trying to fix something that isn't even there.
Yeah, I think it was interesting because I think you had said something like, the x-rays don't lie. However, it is a picture of what we believe in.
Right. It's the false sense. It's a picture of a lie. So it's the x-ray might be a good picture, but it's a picture of something that isn't there. It isn't real. And that's a tough adjustment. To get out of the belief in matter took me quite some time, to start to establish this understanding that I'm spiritual.
We have written in our notes, I think, a really powerful line, that is, to release true power, and the words true power are capitalized, we must relinquish personal sense and personal will. And I think that kind of goes along just what we were saying.
Right. It's really not something that we do. When you start to assume spiritual identity, spirit is the dissolving force of this universe, that it will translate everything back into itself. And that's probably the easiest way to do this, rather than for me, as a human being, trying to stop instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival. It's easier, as Jesus said, to love God. Or as Buddha said, to desire nothing. But that's a very positive thing when you are assuming spiritual identity. It's an upgrade. You're giving up a personal sense of identity for this impersonal spiritual sense of omnipresence, omnipotence.
Well, this is a good place to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. There's a lot of tools on that website to further your spiritual developments. You can access Swami's Blog Talk Radio shows by scrolling down 3/4 way down on the homepage. You'll see Swami Says recent posts, and that list will be there for you to choose from, as well as click on online tabs. You can access the free webinars on Wednesdays, as well as the Theory 2 classes that we hold on Thursday evenings. So Swami, with that, do you have any other final comments about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to start to react to the perfection of being and forsake the testimony of their senses and see how that starts to work for them. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.